All right, there we go. It's 8:15 right here on your best mix of music, 98.4 Capital FM. Very excited this morning. Something we've been discussing that's also hit our front pages over the course of the last few months, and that is, of course, the role of church in politics. Should they be mixed, combined? Should they be separate? And then we thought to ourselves, we need to get someone in who can speak from a point of knowledge, and that is why we have our guest in this morning.
That's right, 98.4 Capital FM, your best mix of music, your best mix of guests. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today in the presence of Reverend Dr. Michael Musango.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming into studio today.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here today.
No, thank you. I feel like we might have a little bit of a sidebar later where we can have some confession time, if you don't mind. You're here anyway.
By the way, if you entertain that with Davina, your confession time, you'll be here the whole day.
You're here anyway.
We're going to have some time to do some confessions if we have to.
Thank you.
We
so
should
much.
Actually do those on air.
There's many Hail Marys that need to be said in this studio.
Reverend Doctor. We obviously, we have a very big decision to make as a country in 2022.
That is true.
Where we may see someone who is not of political pedigree or someone who is of political pedigree. But I would say the most non-straightforward decision in the past, since 1965, where we will have a leader. And right now everyone's saying, it could be this one, could be this one, could be a, somewhat a quiet candidate.
Yes.
And of course, if you read the dailies, every now and again you come across an article about the church and its role in politics. Now, before we get into that, and really, truly, we're so happy you came here, maybe a little bit about yourself. You said you have a PhD in divinity.
Yeah.
Please explain that.
Well, it is important to, just like in every other profession, it's important to be, thoroughly equipped and prepared for what you do. And as human beings, you would not take your body and subject your body to, a surgeon who is telling you, I want to try and see if I can do this.
I've been to a couple of doctors like that, actually.
You don't even want to take your vehicle to somebody who is trying to play guesswork with it.
Sure.
So how much more our spiritual lives? And so it becomes extremely important for preparation and serious training. So my first training was with the UEDO Mission Frontiers, what was called the Dr. Yongi Cho's Africa Mission Center. Then after that, I did my first degree with the Global University of America. From US, and then after that I did a lot of training and studying in the International School of Ministry in South Africa. And after that now there has been this degree with the Bible International University. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
And you stand in front of a congregation, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
Yes. And it would be like being in the medical field or being in the mechanical field or being in the aeronautical field or whatever field it is. There are qualified people to do your job.
Yes.
And there are people that shouldn't be doing your job that are not qualified.
That is
And
true.
I'm certain in this country and around the world, there are unqualified people doing your work. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are quite a number of people. And the problem is that you cannot go and tell somebody you are not qualified. So what you do is that if you know this is what God wants you to do, you prepare yourself the best way. You prepare yourself the best way. And results testify about that.
Sure.
Results testify about that. So someone with the results is not at the mercy of someone that has just a theory and a philosophy.
Understood.
Yeah.
Which church which is your church?
Well, it is not my church, really.
Okay. Because the people's church.
Yeah. The Bible says that the church belongs to the one who purchased it with his own blood, that is Jesus.
Uh-huh.
But I'm pastoring a church called Fountain of Grace, and we are in Athi River.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that, I was raised Catholic. Is that Christian? Is there a difference? I'm such a heathen. I do apologize.
Well, you have the Roman Catholic Church, and they have their doctrines. And also on the other side, you have the evangelicals who also have their doctrines. And the differences are not really that major between... I was raised a Catholic at some point of my life, so the doctrines are not really that major. The fundamental creeds that we believe in are just one and the same.
But that's the same across all religions, actually. The religion is being human being. We are all humans. And as we bleed into this election year next year, How do you feel about even coming here to talk about politics? What is this intersection between politics and religion?
Well, the truth of the matter is that both involve people. The political world has got to do with people. The religious world has got to do with the people. And it's the same people that you find in our religious places of worship that are going to be out there doing the electioneering process. They're going to be aspirants, they're going to be campaigning, and they're going to be casting their vote. So you can really not dissect so much because it has to do with the same group of people. It's almost one and the same. It's
sure.
almost one and the
so,
same.
So every Sunday, you're speaking to a voting public.
Yes.
Right. And yes. you're preaching the word of God
yes.
to a voting public.
That's it.
But you also have leaders
yes.
who will start to, best way I can say, is a host. And you know how something latches onto a host, will host onto the church
mm-hmm.
to get their message across. There has to be some sort of division between the two, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I would say is that, yes, the church can be used by some people to advance and propagate their ideologies for whatever reasons. But I'm so grateful that not long ago we had leaders coming out, church leaders coming out and saying, let's not politicize, you know, the church services and the pulpit. Mm. And so if anybody wants to come to church, they are welcome. It's a public place. But then we have to regulate what's going to be talked from the pulpit. Mm. And after the service, if they want to have their meetings, they can drive outside there in the parking lot out there
mm-hmm.
and talk to people from there. But I'm of the opinion that the church services should be different from political
sure.
rallies.
And I'm certain that when you're speaking to your congregation, you're speaking purely on the word of God.
Yes.
And you, as a man of the cloth,
mm-hmm.
would not mix the two anyway.
No, I wouldn't mix the two. But you see, again, when you look at the Bible itself, there is a lot of stuff that God has said concerning leadership and political
sure,
governance
sure.
and elections and stuff like that. There's quite a lot in the Bible. There's basically nothing that has to do with the human lives that God didn't capture in the scriptures. I may not be used by anybody. What I refuse is to be used by anybody to campaign for them from the pulpit.
Sure.
But there is a lot, including on how to guide people on how to vote and what to look for in a leader. It is captured in the scriptures.
Which is great work you're doing because, you know, people come to church to hear you speak.
Yeah.
Because you're a, you know, you're a vehicle for the word of God.
Yes.
For lack of a better term.
Yes.
So obviously, and leadership doesn't necessarily have to mean leadership in government. You're talking to people about leading their households.
Yes.
Leading their...
Even their own personal lives.
Yeah, their work, their homes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's wonderful. There has been an issue with low voter registration.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it. We had the head of the IBC in a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They keep extending the deadline for registration. Is this a concern from where you sit as well? How are you sensitizing people of your church, mainly the youth
mm-hmm.
To play an active role in choosing their leaders for the right reasons?
Well, yes, it is true. There has been quite a low voter turnout, especially in registration, new voters. And IEBC had anticipated to register up to about 25 million voters, up from 19.6. So you see close to about 5 million there that we're expecting. But that hasn't been the case so far. There has been quite a low, you know, registration of fresh voters. And these fresh voters are mostly young people. Some of us have been voting for quite a while, so we're in the system. So these new voters that they were expecting to, you know, register are young people. And I tried to look in and find out why, you know, there was such a low voter, you know, turnout among the young people. And as you interact with them, I got about like three or so key reasons that came forth. And the first one, they say that we are fed up. Mm-hmm. It's like we have a young generation of people that are fed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say we most of them seem to be very disappointed with the government. They say we have been given promises. All we hear is that we are laying infrastructure in place to provide kazi kwa vijana wetu.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been the same story. We are going to provide employment. We are going. And nothing seems to be coming.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything seems to be coming, it's, you know, very, very minimal. So many of our young people seem to be quite fed up and disappointed with the government. We know about the high rates of unemployment. You know, every year people are graduating from different colleges and there is no employment. And whereas the government may not be able to employ everybody, just making sure that there are systems in place where Kenyans can, you know, set up their own companies and industries and assimilate these young people. So, yes, it's the work of the government to provide, you know, the necessary environment for investors. And most young people seem to be disappointed because that is not doesn't seem to be happening.
I think what we're seeing is, you know, we know there will always be a slow uptake of the job market. There'll always be a slow uptake of opportunities, especially for the young people. You know, we are a very young country by age, if you take the average age. But we're not seeing a low uptake. We are seeing no uptake. And, you know, as you mentioned, and rightfully so, the promises that have been made have not been fulfilled, whether it was one laptop per child, stadiums, whatever the case. You know, young people are not stupid.
That's true.
And we have a very solid education system in this country. People are informed. If they're not seeing change, if they're not seeing progress, you have one of two problems. One, they will simply come up, they'll protest. Two, they'll protest silently by not voting.
That is
true. But that is a detriment to the country.
That is true. That is true. Because the other thing that I would talk about is voter apathy. You know, when people tell you, as a Kenyan, I'm supposed to vote and express my wishes through my vote. But the one who votes doesn't really count. It is the one who counts the vote that matters. So we feel that they will tell you, whether I vote or I don't vote, my views are not going to be taken heed of. And whatever the IEBC has decided to do or they have been told to do, that's what they're going to do. So my vote doesn't really matter. And as a result, there has been quite, you know, a lot of voter apathy.
Sure.
And so they are disappointed with the government that the promises don't come. They are disappointed with the IEBC that my vote doesn't count. You will do what you want. So when you combine all these, they see there's no need for us to go and vote. At the end of the day, what they want, they will do, not what I want.
That's incredible and also very, very, it's sad in a way, isn't it, really? That, you know, it's not my vote that counts. It's who counts the vote that matters. That's a little bit concerning.
98.4 Capital FM, your best mix of music, your best mix of conversations, as always, as we have Reverend Dr. Michael Musango in studio with us. If you have a question for the Reverend Doctor, tweet us at 984 in the morning.
Wake up with Davina and Fareed. Do it. You gotta get on up. Woo! The only way to wake up. Yeah. On 98.4 Capital FM.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escape, sleep, walk, awake. Those who come late know the world ain't kick. Jail bars ain't golden gates. Those who fake, they break. When they meet their 400-pound mate, if I could rule the world, everyone would have a gun in the ghetto, of course. When get the up and on their horse. Kick around, drinking moonshine. I pour a sip on the concrete for the deceased, but no, don't weep. White clefs in a state of sleep, thinking about the robbery that I did last week. Money in the bag, banker look like a drag. I wanna play with pelicans from here to Baghdad. Gun blast, think fast, I think I'm hit. My girl pinched my hips to see if I still exist. I think not, I'll send a letter to my friends. A born again hooligan, only to be king again.
Ready or not, here I come. Can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want.
I play my enemies like a game of chess where I rest. No stress if you don't smoke cess. Less, I must confess, my destiny's manifest. In some vortex and sweats, I make tracks like I'm homeless. Rap orgies with Orgy and Bess. Capture your bounty like Elliot Ness. Yes, bless you if you represent the fool. But I hex you with some witch's brew if you do do. Voodoo, I could do what you do. Easy. Believe me, front and chicken, it be heebie. G.B. So why you imitating Al Capone? I be Nina Simone and defecating on your microphone.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. You can't run away from these stars I got. Oh, baby, hey, baby, 'cause I got a lot. Oh, yeah.
Ready or not, refugee taking over. The Buffalo Soldier, dreadlock roster. On the 12th hour, fly by in my bomber. Crews run for cover, now they under pushing up flowers. Super fly, true lies do or die. Toss me high, only puff fly with my crew from Lakai. I, refugee from Guantanamo Bay. Dance around the border like I'm Cassius Clay.
Ready or not.
There we go, the Fugees, ready or not. Ready or not, we are talking with a wonderful individual this morning who's demystifying a lot for not just you, our dear listener, but for us in studio as well. And so many questions to get through.
Reverend Dr. Michael Musango is here to talk all things church and elections, an intersection between religiosity and politicism as we head into the year of the election next year. Now, we talked about low voter registration.
Yes.
And the IEBC are absolutely tearing their hair out. Mm-hmm. What are you as a reverend doing to your congregation, to the youth in your congregation who are apathetic?
Well, the truth of the matter is, regardless of how we want to view it, the casting of the ballot is still extremely important because it is one of ways of managing the affairs of our country. Like I said, there is almost nothing, basically nothing, that has to do with the human lives that God did not anticipate and capture in the Bible. So when he created the first man, he gave him a piece of, you know, of the earth to take care of, a garden, to manage it, you know, replenish it, take care of it. And the Bible also does say that God determined the boundaries, the international boundaries of nations and the people to live in them. And so the first man was given a little garden called Eden. And we as Kenyans have been given this garden called Kenya by God. And it's our responsibility to manage this garden, you know, take care of it, replenish it, the ecosystem, and the, you know, the make sure that the climate, I mean, the forests are there, the rivers are flowing, there is harmony among people, and we just put the infrastructures that are necessary in for the development of the country. And that's where our voting comes in. When you vote, you are airing your voice on how you want your country to be managed.
Can I ask a really stupid question, Dr. Reverend?
Please do.
Was there like campaigning and voting in the Bible? Is there?
There wasn't necessarily campaigning and people going out in the streets with placards and all of that and banners. But God did anticipate. And so one time he spoke to the people of Israel and told them, when you begin to choose leaders for yourselves, when you begin to choose kings, the equivalent of today's presidents, when you begin to choose kings for yourselves, this is what you look for. At one time, he told a gentleman called Moses, to govern the millions of people that you have with you, you need a structure in place. Let some be in charge of 50s. Let some be in charge of hundreds. Let others be in charge of thousands. And you can see it's like the MCS with the words, with little population. Yeah. Then you move to the MP. Mm. Then you move to the governor. Then you move to the whole, you know, to the president, the whole country. So that has been there. Infrastructure for governance, easy governance of the state and the people.
And actually, democracy,
yes,
in its purest form, is actually derived from scriptures as well, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes, that is true. That is true.
So when we lead into next year, are you and your peers going to be relying on the written word, on these holy texts, to call for peace if, God forbid, and no pun intended, there is violence?
Now, I would like to encourage everyone listening, and this is extremely important. When you read the Bible, when Jesus was just about to finish his assignment here, of all the things he could have left his disciples and friends, of all the things he could have left, he told them, this one thing I leave you, peace. Because many of us think what we need is a lot of money, but you cannot enjoy that money in the absence of peace. Actually, there are two important things that you need in life if you're going to enjoy life. And one of them is good health, and the other one is peace. Mm. Those are the most expensive commodities to get, and they are the most important commodities in somebody's life. All these good roads and infrastructure, we cannot use those roads when people have to stay in homes because of insecurities. And so peace is extremely important. And I would like to encourage every Kenyan. You know, it's interesting that as Kenyans, we can coexist together harmoniously. We don't even care what tribe you are. But when elections come, all of a sudden you begin to realize this person is not from my tribe.
Mm.
But the truth of the matter is, Kenyans are peaceful people. We love peace.
Mm.
We coexist well. And so we must get to a place where we refuse to be divided by politicians. And let me tell you this. Somebody has said that a politician is a cunning, clever person who knows how to make his personal interests and desires appear like national troubles and mobilizes the masses to help him achieve his goals while deceiving them that they are solving national problems.
Mm.
That's one thing we must know. So we must be very careful not just to be used as vehicles to get people to where they want to be, but we must be careful to know we need each other at the end and after all this election process is over. We need each other. So we must be careful not to be used to fulfill people's ambitions while thinking we are actually taking care of the needs of our country.
But, you know, you must look around your congregation and see different people from different tribes and different parts of the country sitting next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But as you just stated, when elections happen, we become bitter enemies, mm-hmm. Depending on where we're from or
which
what tribe we're from.
Which is very sad.
And for you, where you sit looking at this wonderful congregation of people that are mixed,
mm-hmm.
it must be heartbreaking.
Well, let me tell you something. Human beings, unless somebody has poisoned them, they are always very good people.
Mm.
The child that was born early this morning, that child came with an empty mind. And it's upon us to write something in the mind of that child and create a mindset and a belief system. That child doesn't know whether he's Luo or Kikuyu.
Yeah.
That child doesn't know nothing.
Yeah.
So until somebody comes and poisons the mind of that child and writes the wrong thing, that child is innocent. And so we have the responsibility of bearing down our ethnicity and realizing we have something that unites us, something bigger than our tribes, and that is Kenya. You know, it's interesting. Let me tell you this. If you go to the hospital right now, assuming we come from two tribes that don't see eyeball to eyeball,
yeah.
and I need blood to save me, I tell you the truth. I'll not be careful to know whether the blood has come from an Indian,
yep.
or from an African,
yep.
or from a man of the Caucasian origin.
Yep.
All I need is blood to save me.
Or a Muslim, or a Hindu,
it
or a Christian.
Matter.
It doesn't matter.
Blood, you are not going to ask the doctor, where do you got this blood
mm-hmm.
from?
Mm-hmm.
Because what you need is life. A dying man doesn't have many questions. All he needs is life.
That is like my favorite quote. I'm stealing it. I'm using it.
No.
A dying man doesn't have many questions.
Yeah.
I love that.
All he wants
That's
is
incredible.
Life.
I've
and
got good
and the moment we realize all we want is a peaceful country where we can run our businesses with peace, where I can go back home and eat my ugali and skuma peacefully, that is the most important thing. So elections will come and go, but the country will remain.
Unbelievable.
And there's nothing as painful as having to flee your own home, leaving your businesses, whether big or small, leaving your family and relatives, and sometimes you have only to flee with a shirt on your back, not knowing where you're going to spend the night, and not knowing whether you're going to see your wife and children another day. It is the most tragic thing on earth. Your conscience will be eating you up day and night. And so it's better to have peace and health than all these other things, which are also good to have, but peace and health is extremely crucial.
Wow. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this discussion. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As we discuss a couple more things. And if you have questions, please get them in. Tweet us, 984 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag drive in if you have any questions for the Reverend Doctor who's joined us this morning to talk all things religion and politics, but really to talk about being a solid, good, upstanding human being,
mm-hmm.
no matter where you're from or who you turn to pray to.
Wake up with Davina and Fareed on 98.4 Capital FM. Nobody's gonna ruin my day. The only way to wake up.
anywhere before. Couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep.
Radiohead with Creep. Now, in studio with us this morning, the great Reverend Dr. Michael Musango, who has joined us to discuss a number of things. And, you know, we had a list of questions, but there's so much that's coming out. A quote that we should learn to live by: a dying man doesn't have many questions. Mm-hmm. I love that. We were talking about, you know, and truthfully, when you come into this world and when you leave this world, mm-hmm. you are alone.
Mm-hmm, that is true.
You know, you don't take your house with you. You don't take your worldly possessions. You don't take that, you know, 40,000 shillings that's stuffed under your mattress. It's irrelevant at that point.
At that point, it is relevant. Who your friends were don't matter anymore. What matters is your life with God.
And how much good you do during that life.
Yeah.
Depending. And really, you say God, absolutely, because it doesn't matter who you're, what religious background you have. Most religions, major religions, have the same intricate fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Be a good person, live with humility, etc., etc. Now, there have been, claims that religious leaders have been compromised by politicians. I know we touched on this a few minutes earlier, maybe it does happen. But what would you say to these religious leaders that are playing the part of politics? Because it is a dangerous game to play.
Mm. Now, what I will say is this: number one, I have not been a witness where I have seen someone being given this amount of money or such and such a gift. But again, I'll be quite hypocritical to pretend that there is no possibility of such things happening. I may not have witnessed and seen one person, but I cannot assume and pretend such things don't happen. Now, what the church is supposed to be the conscience, the moral conscience of the society and the nation. And this gives puts the church leaders at a very, very high pedestal. Because as the Bible says, once you receive what you would call either a bribe, it blindens your eyes. You cease to be objective in your view of issues where such a person who perhaps gave you one favor or another is concerned. And so it's like you are unable, you are really unable to point out and say, hey, here you went wrong and this is what you need to do. Because you have been morally compromised and you don't have that voice and authority again. And so what I would like to say is that if we're going to maintain our voice and be the moral conscience of the society and be able to point our finger and say, hey, honorable so-and-so, this was quite out of, you know, out of expectations, then we must be willing to be content with what we have. We must be willing not to be compromised directly or indirectly. And so if any religious leader, if any politician, whether serving now or aspiring, wants to come to church, let them come. If they want to give offerings, let them give like every other person. But it shouldn't be as a way of trying to pocket and muzzle, you know, the religious leader in that place.
Sure. And at the end of the day, we are individuals. We have a right to choose who we want.
Yes.
And we should not be influenced one way or the other. Mm-hmm. It's fine for you to stand up and talk about voter registration, picking the right leaders.
Yes.
But the decision ultimately
lies with the people.
With the individual, yes. Yeah. Now, what is your reaction to statements that the church leaders are a far cry from the contribution from the likes of Reverend Timothy Njoya, Archbishop Ndingi Mwanzeki, David Gitari, and the things that they did in their days?
Well, I remember such a gentleman. It goes back to the days of the late Bishop Kipsang Muge. And they were quite a firebrand and their voices were heard. Surprisingly, they were like individuals that would come forth and come out and speak. Now, that does not mean that we don't have such anymore. It is still there and it is happening. And the difference is, whereas in those days we knew particular individuals that came forth, like you have mentioned, Bishop Ndingi, Bishop Gitari of the Anglican Church, and the likes of Timothy Njoya that were in the streets and they were really brutalized in those days, we had individuals. But right now, you may not see an individual per se. That's the reason why there is that misconception that the church leaders nowadays are not vocal. But the truth is, they are extremely vocal. Only that now you don't see individuals because they are working through bodies. We have the NCCK. We have a lot of churches there. We have the Evangelicals Association of Kenya. We have a lot of people there that are making noise and are talking and are pointing out what is right and pointing out what is wrong. So you may not see an individual, but you will see those organizations.
Mm-hmm. And these organizations, these bodies, if you will, mm-hmm. Obviously policy makers and moderators, mm-hmm. is there a constant dialogue with the government?
Yes, they are in constant dialogue with the government. It is from those organizations that we heard the church front a number of individuals that sat in the interfaith, especially in the when COVID was really, really harassing the country. So they are there. They are there. They dialogue with the government on behalf of the church and the society at large. And they dialogue and pass information to the church and moderate and even regulate how the churches are run, and even if the churches are complying with the government policies and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming into studio today and giving us your words of wisdom. Dr. Reverend Michael Musango, isn't it ridiculous that I was like, how can I follow you on Twitter or do you have Instagram? Meanwhile, you every Sunday you are open and available and basically tweeting your thoughts in church. You forget that the first leaders or influencers were kings, queens, teachers, and men of the cloth.
Yeah, that is important to realize because, like I have said, the first people that influence us when we come into this world, it's our parents, it's our families.
Mm.
Because that's where we get to learn the world from. We have also schools. Schools play a major role. Then we have religious circles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before the internet came, and we now can go to Twitter and follow whoever to be influenced. Before all this was there, we had those three areas of influence. We had our families and basically the society around us. We had the religious leaders, and we had the schools. That's where our mindsets and mentalities are formed, by the information we receive from these people that we looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
So they shaped us.
Mm-hmm.
The way we think, the way we see life, the way we perceive life, the way we interpret life is as a result of the mindsets we have, the mentalities we have. And we were shaped that way by our families and societies. We were shaped to think that way by our school system. And we were shaped to think that way by our religious circles.
And it's such a shame that the term followers means something completely different these days.
Mm-hmm.
To your followers on Sunday, I'm certain they're going to have a wonderful sermon from you. We'll definitely make a trip down with Andrew.
Please come.
We need to come and repent.
Because I mean, this was great. You can only imagine what he's like when you're behind your pulpit. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see you again before the elections.